Hey!
Movies.
Movies.
Oh, for realsies.
Welcome back, movie fans. Pete here.
And Brian. And joined by Mike.
You're not Neil.
Yeah, I mean, normally you can do an introduction, but now everyone's feeling like they're in the Twilight Zone.
I feel violated.
Well, I'm...
Who are you?
I'm part of the family, it feels like.
You are part of the family. blood is thick. Yeah, it's my brother Mike, everybody.
Buenos dias.
Buenos dias. And Neil couldn't be with us tonight. Our condolences. You know, just, you know, we want you to come back, man.
Big shoes to fill, though.
I mean, things happen, you know, family obligations.
Decisions were made.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. He already had his PJs on.
I already have my PJs on.
I'm just happy you're wearing pants for once, Pete.
Don't make it weird.
Everyone, by this point, our fans know how weird this gets.
Yes. So we are three dads navigating the films of our youths. Mm-hmm. Our youths. And we would like to answer three questions. Mike, question number one.
Right off the bat.
Wow. Right off the bat. We're not asking you this right now.
Didn't realize there was going to be a quiz here.
Our first question is always going to be what? What do you think the first question is?
My social security number?
Yes.
Yes.
Yes, it is.
Yes. How did you know? Does the movie hold up? Question number two. Should the movie be rebooted, remade, recycled, removed from existence, Rochambeau'd?
Oh, that's a good one. Yeah. And just rejected.
Rejected. And whatever you can think of.
Gotcha.
And then question number three, should we have our kids watch this? Mm. Now, you can take this any number of ways, because I have threatened my children with Masters of the Universe if they ever bring the car home after 8 o'clock.
Okay.
Right, so...
8 o'clock a.m.?
I didn't distinguish. Don't!
So when a carriage turns into the pumpkin, right?
So, exactly.
And then you see Masters of the Universe.
Oh, my God.
I have the power.
So, you got to choose this one tonight.
I did. I didn't.
Do you want to introduce it?
Sure. So, back in the early 1800s. No, just kidding. Battlestar Galactica was just on ABC, I believe. We were trying to figure out which network it was on. But back then, there was only three networks. It was either ABC, NBC, or CBS. One of the three. It was really cool.
Do you remember when Channel 20 came around?
61.
When Fox. Oh, Channel 20 was first, like 6 months
Fox
later...
61.
Then Channel... But it was like a UHF station, so it didn't have an affiliation with Fox yet.
Ooh. And then back when it was edgy.
And then you had PBS, that's just public broadcasting in general.
It was black and white Doctor Who and Masterpiece Theater.
Oh, I liked Masterpiece Theater.
I, Claudius...
Really bad, good acting with really bad special effects.
Oh man. Just, it was basically they took British theater and they said, we're going to film this up close with people.
Yeah.
No. So Battlestar Galactica, Mike, what do you remember as a kid who owned the slingshot Battlestar Galactica Viper slingshot fighter thing?
Correct.
You got that for Christmas one year. I remember.
Wasn't that banned because kids kept getting shot in the eye?
Yes.
Yeah, it was it. But that was back in the day when we could do lawn darts and not worry about it.
Well, I think you got that for a present that year as well.
Might have been.
So your parents were really hoping that one of you would get offed.
Well,
we tried.
They're firm believers in evolution.
All right.
And we did try.
Survive.
We did try. But yes, I did have the Viper that did shoot out the pellets. We would lose them. We would find them. And we would shoot each other. And
the Viper too. No, but like the Battlestar Galactica dome thing that was like a handheld gun that had two little rubber Vipers or foam Vipers, like darts that you could launch them off of the bay at each other. And then you also had I had the Cylon ship that would shoot the little darts out of it.
Wow, so these like proto Nerf darts.
Yeah,
they were hard plastic.
Hard plastic.
Yeah. Definitely small enough that a small child could choke on.
They were about
so
this
not non-expanding recreational foam.
Yes.
Pretty much.
Yes. Mm-hmm. You know, they're about 3.5 inches long, like the size of a Star Wars figurine.
Yep.
Maybe a little bit bigger. Not quite as hard.
Wait. That's what was fired? Was something the size of a Star Wars figurine?
Yeah, like that big.
Dang.
And it had little wings on it. It looked like a Viper.
Yep.
And you could shoot it across the room, and it would hit pretty hard.
Dang. Hardcore.
Yeah, it was. But I think mostly you remember the ship, Star Galactica. Like, you remember the Millennium Falcon. You remember all the... It's the ship. The ship was a cool ship.
But the music, though, was epic.
It was.
That was the thing that, like... We even had the... I think we had the 33 large record of the Battlestar Galactica musical score, and we used to play that at the house.
Until it started getting a scratch on it, and then it would just repeat, and that was the end of that.
Yeah.
I had all the pieces of the puzzle, basically.
What do you remember about the show, though?
You know, I kind of remember like the actors and actresses. You know, you remember the characters. You remember... the good, the bad, and the ugly of who they were. It was pretty neat. It was a good, well-balanced group.
I'm going to say, you think it holds up? Like, your prediction?
Prediction, I think it still holds up. Now, granted, you can tell when you have the moments when they're in an enclosed room that's meant to look like they're on a ship.
Right.
You could tell that there are those moments where the angle of the backlit area was not exactly right. You would see the... people in the back, you know, with the key grip, you know, with the microphone probably banging into the wall, they cardboard.
Were, like early Star Trek, they were really working hard on, like, very minimal sets to try to convey...
No, I don't think you're going to see a lot of that. There might be a few goofs in there that you're going to see. I think the bigger thing is you're going to notice, like, the fabric they used for the uniforms. You're going to notice, like, how did they say... do you remember Boxy?
I do remember Boxy.
Okay, so...
Boxy?
I just want you to remember Boxy. Okay, well, and
I've never seen this, so this just is want you all to remember going to
Boxy.
Be...
It's
going to
be a... Boxy's kind of like a combination of...
Don't ruin it.
I'm not going to ruin anything, but the best way of describing it is think of Lassie, the dog Lassie. You heard stories about...
You're already ruining
it. I think I know of Boxy.
You're already ruining
it. That's not ruining it.
No, don't go
say,
anymore.
Okay, please, I won't say anymore. And then there's the bad people, well, the bad guys, which is the Cylons. Yeah, so the Cylons, like the actual fighters... Their uniforms, I would say they're a couple steps down from the Stormtrooper uniforms.
I don't know. Because it was... Okay, so the TVD production quality, but I do think that the network put a lot of money into it for what TV was. It was right up there with, like... It came out around the same time that Buck Rogers did.
Yeah, so it's going to be definitely a child of its
But it was
time.
Also filmed in Southern California.
Everything.
Everyone's out of tan.
The Cylons were featured on the Universal movie ride.
Yeah, so...
Right before Jaws popped out of the water, right after, something like that. So I kind of remember seeing them.
Like, now, what you're going to notice, though, is... you know, we... Not to bury the lead, but they did make a remake of this entire show.
And,
which is phenomenal.
And was very well received.
We are going to proceed forward as if that never happened, or at least I will.
Okay.
For my answering of whether or not this should be rebooted or not.
I mean, but they didn't really reboot that. They kind of
did.
Yeah. Well, because I remember, like, they had the original Cylons, and they got, like, completely destroyed by the new Cylons.
Okay, so they took it into a weird direction.
Yeah.
And
choice. All right, so...
The shark.
Well, let's go with this pure, undistilled nostalgia.
You know how we do this. We usually get scotch and ice cream, but tonight's just going to be ice cream because I'm not supposed to be drinking for a while.
Well... Right.
Thank your liver and your digestive tract for that.
Yes.
Well, except your digestive tract
Okay, that makes it
is,
sound weird for the podcast.
Your digestive tract is still getting ice cream.
I'm not an alcoholic.
But you play one on TV.
I was thinking that we don't always have to drink whiskey at every one of these. Sometimes we have a beer. Sometimes we just have seltzer.
That is also
because it's
true.
Later at night.
All right, we'll fix it in post.
I'm sure our fans are not like... You know, turning it off because it's not the whiskey. They're turning it off because, well...
They're like, Battlestar Galactica. Let's go get some ice cream.
Yay.
Game on.
Do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do. Boxy.
That's going to be a robot dog.
And we're back.
Right. So, Mike, just want to let you in on a secret that we didn't tell you before we started, is... You're going to need to think of two sentences that sums up this movie.
I mean, what?
You don't have to do it right, like, in this moment, like, this second. We're going to, you know, chat for a minute about what we just experienced. But I want to start with Brian over here, who has never seen it.
Okay.
Brian, well, talk about being put on the spot.
No, you don't have to do the two sentences.
Oh,
not this part yet.
I think one...
But, like, we are back from...
The Battlestar Galactica?
Yes.
The last Battlestar?
The last Battlestar.
Of all the colonies?
No, the colonies are gone.
That's what I said. That's the last Battlestar of the
colonies. They're all gone.
You don't understand.
Starbuck, you don't know what's happened. Yeah, well, you know, like, you guys left us, and I was sad flying home.
Womp womp. So I have to admit, like, I've never seen this. I have seen the first season of the reboot series.
So you knew the basic story arc.
I knew that, you know, things did not seem like they were going to go well at these peace talks.
Mm-mm.
But not only did I have the benefit of knowing how the reboot went, I feel as though everybody on this Galactic Council, a bunch of fucking dum-dums. Yeah, the whole time, like, what, are you kidding me?
What did you say in the beginning? I'm like, oh, thank God that in a faraway galaxy with all of this modern technology and space travel that it's 12 men still leading us. Oh, I feel so much safer now.
Is that a democracy?
No women.
An old white man is in charge of everything. Spoiler alert, it all goes tits up.
What could possibly go wrong?
But he's so old and wise.
It's wise. You know, he's so wise, he's never changed his mind in his life. Because he's a decider.
On one hand, I don't understand how they were convinced, listen, we're going to do peace. We just need all of your forces, I mean all your forces, pulled out to this remote sector, and we're going to have a peace party, and it's going to be great. Really? Like, I mean, every single one of your ships needs to come meet us out here.
Yeah, just like, you know.
All of them.
You know that war that we've been in with this other race of intelligent robots? For generations, like, we don't even have in recorded history that we're not. Well, tell you what, that's all over now. They're going to come here to party with us.
Well, they needed a reason to decorate the stadium. They did have a big peace sign in the stadium.
They went all out. That was all planted in flowers.
So the other thing too is,
go big or go home. Go big or go home.
What, the colonies end up being betrayed by Baltic?
Baltar.
At no point did they explain what was Baltar's thinking. No one, like, I cannot fathom, so let me get this straight. You have betrayed the entire human race. Yep, I betrayed them all. All of them are going to be wiped out. And then you will be the last human.
But,
and
you know, they,
that gets you...
Gets you nothing, because don't the Cylons want all humans exterminated? Every last one? But surely you don't mean me. And they didn't answer the question.
But
they didn't say, oh, no, of course not.
Is he just going to hang out with the other Cylons and eat Cylon food and be, like, all Cylonian?
Yeah, like eating circuits and copper wiring.
Like, that makes absolutely no sense. Like, I just don't understand. Like, they needed to explain why he was betrayed. Was he brainwashed? Is he a plant? Like, it has to be something, because I am very confused as to why he would betray... Well, one, that they'd be so dumb to do all of that. Like, I'm just going to move all the forces right here in the middle of nowhere and leave everybody unprotected because...
Wise old man.
They pinky swore, guys. They pinky swore, and that means something.
I told them to get off my lawn. All right, Mike, you almost ready?
I am born ready.
All right, nice. Are you ready for a two-sentence synopsis of what you just watched?
I don't know if it's possible to put everything that I've watched into two sentences, let alone two words, but I will do my best.
Yes.
So the way that I look at it is Battlestar Galactica is the epitome of people going medieval on somebody else. That's all I have to say. Cylons thought that they were going to go and kick some butt, and guess what? The colonists said, I don't think so. Not today. Not on my watch. And they came back and kicked some Cylon booty. And then, you know what? We got three more seasons of that happening.
Side quest.
Is that really how the rest of the series goes? Just them derping from, like, you know, story to story as they try to find Earth?
Well, yes. What you'll notice is that as the series goes on, it's the same space scenes shot at the same moments with a different word. Like, you shoot left, they get it left, and then they flip.
Oh yeah,
the angle, and then they shoot left, and then they shoot right.
Well, of course, then there's the episode of women's equality, when all of the female pilots become female pilots, they let women serve in the military.
How progressive for the year 8,972.
Yes, right.
I think they even ran out of gas and how to use the conserve energy and the environment.
Oh.
Did they get a flux capacitor is all I want to know.
They did not get the flux capacitor.
They didn't get a flux capacitor. All right, Brian, you ready for one?
All right. Battlestar Galactica. In the future where they have star travel and colonies on vast planets separated by gaseous bodies and planetoids and whatnots, they will still communicate in person and with television sets.
At least
everyone is shocked.
Everyone gets broadcast news.
The advanced aliens pull the biggest no way move and betray everybody to eradicate mankind.
I just love their radar equipment in their Vipers of oh look, it shows that it's a ship.
It's not even Atari level. Let's take it down even a notch.
Dude, it was Commodore 24 level.
It was Pong.
Pong.
Well, this was the problem they had when they decided to do that prequel Star Trek series, and they realized that the technology we have today was greater than what they had in Star Trek. So how do we work this out?
Magic.
It is magic.
Same thing. They were wearing radio headsets in this. This. I mean, at the time, probably looked pretty cool, but now it's you guys look dumb.
Again, I think the movie was sweeted.
Yeah. But hey, back in the 70s, this was
the shit.
This
yo.
Was the Star Wars.
Bruh, this was the shit.
I mean, it was cool ship battles. I mean, everything had a really cool aesthetic. I just think that the writing is where I found it to be sort of dumb.
Network TV as opposed to movie studio.
I mean, even network TV, no one in the writing room said, well, what's this guy's endgame? It's a bad guy. Whoa, we'll get to that in episode, four. We're going to review. Big reveal. Let's just go. Just go.
They're keeping you in from episode to episode.
Yep.
Watch more.
Pulling some taffy on that one.
Yeah.
Yeah. In a world on a planet where the wisdom of the aged men can create such a perfect utopia that nothing could ever go wrong when you least expect it and send all of your ships to the far side of the sector. Of course, nothing could possibly go wrong, you fucking idiots! Oh my God, it was right there.
No, they didn't see the writing on the wall.
No.
Didn't see it. Missed it. All the signs.
Well, I mean, they tried to see it, but then they finally saw it when that patrol came upon the giant fleet of Cylons.
Oh, look. It's a Cylon tanker. Right when you see a Cylon tanker, why would there be a Cylon tanker here?
Right there. In the middle of the
road. Oh, hey, boss.
This is suspicious as fuck.
This is totally mid-cap, low-energy vibes.
Yeah. Who would have ever thought a Cylon fleet next to the Cylon tanker?
What? How dare you insinuate such a thing?
Even the guy who betrayed the president was they must be sending out a giant celebration party.
Yes, they're sending a welcome party to you.
Yes, those are peace guns they're firing at us with peace bullets.
Because let me tell you, nobody looks like they know how to party like a Cylon warrior. That red eye, back and forth.
Oh my gosh.
It's a disco.
It's like they bring Pong to the party.
They do.
Woof. So I think that's the real difficulty of this, is that the special effects were pretty cool, the aesthetics were cool, and I even liked most of the hotshot pilots, except for one scene, guys. One scene seemed...
Which scene could that be, Brian?
Well, I think that was giving me the hardest time, other than the betrayal and the dumb army, was when Starbuck, our hotshot Han Solo, goes to the bereaved sister who's changing and immediately looks like he's trying to get laid.
It's I've seen this locker room movie before.
In fact, I think I've seen this locker room set on a completely different movie, but the costumes were the same, but his name wasn't Starbuck.
Ah, Starfuck.
I mean, low-hanging fruit, but...
I mean, not as low as his balls.
She just lost her brother. The colonies have been destroyed. Everybody is probably as distraught as possible. And he walks in like, boy, I really lost some people and through grief.
Baby. You know what I've heard? I've heard that no sex is as good as emotionally unstable sex.
I don't think we should dwell in darkness. We need to move past this. I noticed you're still naked behind that closet door as you were trying to change when I barged in. You can come out from behind there anytime.
Yeah, I'm just going to stand here until you get changed and not leave.
That's the opportunity. He saw the opportunity.
Oh, my God.
So didn't take it.
So,
didn't take it, but saw the opportunity.
It was implications. It was implied. On question one.
Do you think this movie, this first episode, holds up, Brian?
Aside from like the problems we pointed out, I am definitely intrigued. I was entertained. I would be like, oh, I wonder what happens in the next episodes. I'm not sure that the camp wouldn't wear thin, or if some of the premises won't wear thin. But I will say that aside from the flaws, that it was still entertaining. I think it holds up for what it was.
Okay.
I mean, cool. So I can talk a lot of shit about it, but for TV writing, like, this was still more fun than like 60% of what we've watched on this podcast.
You know, that's you know, you see a 60 Metacritic score and you're like, okay, all right.
I have watched Winnie the Pooh, Blood and Honey, and it's totally fine with my time spent with that. Listen, everyone knows I am really not the person to ask. I'm entertained easily.
Cocaine Bear should have won an Oscar.
Ah, yes. And we don't have time to get into that bullshit.
No, we do not. Mike, question one. Does for you, this is important because you saw it back in the day.
Oh, yeah.
And it was like rebroadcast like every year in the early 80s. We used to watch it all. I remember watching it more than once. And then we got the VHS of it. Mm-hmm. We owned it. So we watched the whole 2.5 hour thing. So what about you? Question one.
Yeah, so I absolutely agree with you. I'd watch it over and over again. I mean, I think it holds up in a sense. If it was, you know, not on VHS and maybe on Blu-ray at a minimum, we would be watching it over and over again. VHS, you just have to wait for it to rewind.
Like, you really are good at hiding your sarcasm sometimes, and I'm running into some difficulty here in deducing whether or not this is Honest Mike or deadpan.
Saying he needs to do the air quote bunny ears?
I just need a visual cue to see if he's serious or not about this. I don't trust him.
In layman form, it does hold up. I agree. Special effects probably could increase a little bit better. Acting can increase a little bit better.
There are some lines that were a little flat.
So aside from the directing, the acting, the writing, the script, the special effects,
The wardrobe.
I mean, the hair, though, was fantastic.
That was some of the best feathering I have ever seen.
I didn't know you could feather so many heads in one shot.
You should have seen this gentleman over here. He had the 8, 9, 10 years old. You had that wavy lock thing going on.
Back here.
Oh, yeah.
Old school.
Yep. Those were the days. This lost me about 2/3 of the way into it. I started seeing it as I'm the old grandpa here. Seeing this.
Humbug.
Yeah, I'm the humbug on this one. I wanted to so bad, and it hit a lot of nostalgia for me. It hit a lot of buttons. I'm like, the music, awesome. But as soon as I got into it, and it was actually Apollo's. So like, there was Zach and Starbuck talking about whether or not they were going to go on the at the very beginning on the patrol, like how we were going to convince Apollo to let Zach go on the patrol. And I see Apollo walk in, and you see him, and his eyes come up, and he's like, you could tell he's looking off set to see, okay, do I give my line now? Okay. And it's from that moment, I was like, oh no. Oh gosh.
This could have used a little bit of polishing.
Yeah, could have used a lot of, like, maybe it was the first take. And well, they just did everything on one take.
They probably blew a lot of the budget on everything that they couldn't do multiple takes.
Like, on the music. They blew the whole budget on the music.
Yeah, that's what everybody's here for, is the music.
It is.
But aside from that, you know, like I said, it hit a lot of those nostalgic points for me. And I felt the warm fuzzies like watching the Vipers take off the first time and like seeing the Cylon Armada coming in, the whole concept of the story, it hits even with a sweeted sets essentially, you know, just making things out of like cardboard and, you know, pom-poms.
I mean, even that, like the you know, traveling mat, the very stylized, like their command conference room looks like a 1970s like hotel conference room, complete with floral arrangement.
Oh, yeah.
And velvet chairs.
Velvet chairs that are not even velvet, it's more like velour.
Yeah. You know, with, you know, probably Scotchgard. Well, I guess
all the woodwork, you know, and there's like
wood paneling.
Wood paneling on everything.
Everywhere. That entire ship was wood paneling.
It's like, man, Vista Cruiser.
They're cruising the Vista. Well, how about like
oh my god, if they had a Battlestar model
wood paneling on the side. Wood paneling. So the hard part is question two, because we know they had a very successful reboot. I know we're not talking about it, but...
Well, no, I mean, talk about it.
Well, we don't, but, like, that went in a little bit different direction. I think that the story here, the bare bones, is great. You know, this could be rebooted. This could be made into a movie. Like, we could have a Battlestar Galactica movie. Like, I think this is a really straightforward story. Betrayal, we're now lost to the cosmos.
I like that idea of making an actual movie out of it.
And that would do well nowadays.
Yeah.
Bump up the special effects.
Do it as like a trilogy.
Yeah.
You do three movies because that's you got a franchise.
You got a franchise. Well, I like the idea of a... We haven't had in a long time a lost... Like a lost voyage story of like a ship... crew, people sort of lost and trying to find their way home.
Or wait, are you saying... Are you saying...
I'm not saying lost in space.
No, but take Battlestar Galactica concept and the show Lost and smash them together.
That is...
Dharma Initiative.
No.
Now it doesn't make sense.
It turns out that they're on an island and that the whole time they were dead. No. I think it would be interesting to have... we did this a little bit with Star Trek Voyager. But I think that concept of being... I would watch a something like that where they're dealing with, you know, resource issues, you know, trying to find food, water, like having to refuel at foreign planets where you're not really sure what you're going to run into. Loss of life.
You've
like you could
already
little...
mapped out most of the first season.
I mean,
hey, you've
I don't
seen
want to
this
say
before. All of it.
I mean, I know the tropes.
Oh my god, dude, you're so good.
But you know, you could even add political unrest, and then you have like the upstairs downstairs situation where there are like the elites who get like all the good food, but then you have the hoi polloi down below. I mean, it writes itself. You know what? It may be like more like Downton Abbey in a way too. Mm-hmm. Like throw that, but in space.
Oh my god, Downton Abbey.
You know what? I just want to see Downton Abbey in space. You know what? Forget all of this. Shut off the podcast. We're going to go make Downton Abbey in space. I want to see Lord Grantham on Battlestar Grantham.
Everyone's going to be in plaid.
Yeah. With a Scottish accent for no reason.
No reason.
All right.
That's
well,
awesome.
Screw that. I'm going on. We're on to something else. Screw this podcast. I'm done.
Oh my god. Mic drop. So, Mikey, speaking of mics, what would you want to see for actors to reboot this? Who could you see playing these roles?
Wow, that's a tough one. I mean, it's you kind of look at like all the characters that are in here and all the people that are out there. I would kind of throw a little bit of like a, you know, maybe a Samuel Jackson in like Apollo's role a little bit. You know,
but
kind of like
as in like
Apollo,
Apollo or Adama?
I'm thinking Apollo. Like put him out
like a young
yeah.
Samuel L. Jackson.
I'm thinking like Pulp Fiction Samuel L. Jackson. He goes out there and like I'm gonna F you up, Cylons.
There are these motherfucking Cylons in motherfucking space.
And he's just out there shooting at everything.
That'd be awesome.
Hell, he's even hitting his own ship. I'm gonna fire at everything. Yeah, so I think you get some of these characters nowadays. Now, I think you need to get in some elegance. You need to bring in somebody that is going to lighten up the tone on the bridge of the ship here. So, you know, lighten maybe you tone? Bring in like a... I don't even know.
Will Ferrell is Adama.
Oh, God. Oh, boy.
Yeah, he said lighten the tone.
I mean, there's light in the tone, and then, you know...
just absurd.
Maybe you absurd.
Yeah, I know.
Well, actually, you know what...
So, are we trying... Now, would you try and take this, like, in a serious bent, or would you try and make it more comedic?
What are you thinking? More like Dukes of Hazzard when they went that route?
Or, no. What's, Seth,
Rogen?
No.
Green?
No.
McFarlane?
McFarlane's, space TV show. The Orville.
The Orville. Redenbacher.
Right? You guys ever see that one?
No.
It's actually very good. But they take more comedy into effect there. Mm. Or are you taking it as this is a serious movie? So if you can take Samuel L. Jackson and it's being a serious movie, right?
Yep.
You know, who are you going to surround him with?
Serious people. Mm.
Who's serious these days? What if we had... For Adama?
Adama.
Adama. Let's go with Martin Sheen.
Like Gettysburg Martin Sheen?
I was thinking like West Wing.
West Wing Martin Sheen.
Martin Sheen. Okay. Like the greatest president we never had.
We're going 90s here. We're going 90s and early aughts all the way.
I think he could still pull it off.
That's
but,
fair.
And then for Starbuck...
See Timothée Chalamet.
No.
Timothée Chalamet.
No, he's already like he's got the whole Dune franchise.
He's everywhere.
Yeah.
Hans is so hot right now.
So hot right now. Oh, I would use what's his name? The Skarsgård. Alexander Skarsgård.
But he's like 6'27".
So?
So tall.
So?
You can't fit on a Battlestar. They don't. There's height requirements.
Did you see the vaulted ceilings in that thing? They were constantly in warehouse hangars. Like, I don't think he has to worry about
that was one of the derp ships in steerage.
Yeah, I think he'd be fine.
Okay.
He's great.
I was thinking, I thought, like, Lin-Manuel Miranda would make a great Starbuck.
Hmm. What?
Yes. Yes. Like a plucky sidekick.
Okay.
He's plucky.
Sure.
Lynn's plucky.
Sure. Hmm. And you just plucky. Break into some rap, like, you know.
Who would you have as Apollo? Or Zach? Oh, Lin-Manuel Miranda, Zach, is the younger brother. Put some, like...
He's, like, 45.
He played a... 18-year-old Alexander Hamilton. It's the movies, dude.
In Alexander Hamilton.
We're asking Samuel L. Jackson
I'm keeping it real, and I don't think I could see him in that role.
Playing? We're asking Samuel L. Jackson.
I would do Tom Holland, because everyone watching Tom Holland die would be an instant tearjerker.
Tom Holland's the obvious choice. All of us wanted to say Tom Holland.
Mm-hmm. I mean,
all of us
we
all
everyone knows we put Tom Holland in all of our movies.
Yes,
because the boy can do no wrong.
He really can't.
No, Zac Efron should be Apollo.
Ooh,
because he's older.
He's older now.
He's older now, and I think
he has gravitas.
And he's a little bit. He does the whole happy like you know you positive
know?
Turning into you know hardcore like sadness, and he can turn the drama on.
Mike, did you know that? Just at the thought of getting the role of Apollo, that Daniel Day-Lewis, went back in time thousands of years, went to another galaxy, learned how to fly a Viper, and served on the Battlestar Galactica, the actual one, and then came back to the... But he didn't get the call. But he's still... He's so committed to his craft.
You know, it's because he overslept. He overslept, like...
he just...
Wow. He was so tired from his travels, he overslept.
He's the greatest method actor of our generation.
He missed the audition, and instead it went to that guy.
I'd like to see Javier Bardem as Adama.
Sure. No, I haven't seen him in things in a while. Like
that would be...
I take that back. He's in Dune. I haven't seen him in anything since that giant
movie that we watched 2 days ago.
That's also coming out tomorrow. Yeah, Javier Bardem really just fell off the radar. Oh. Yeah, whatever happened to, you know, what's his name? Momoa, Jason Momoa. What's he been in?
Yeah, what's he been in recently? Oh, Dune. Right,
oh,
right,
yeah,
right.
Well, Dune 1, because then he had to go do Aquaman Part 2.
Right. That's actually, that dropped. We can watch that later.
Oh, yeah, Aquaman came out for that weekend.
Hmm.
Did super well for
the one weekend.
Yeah, it made about $20.
No,
it and then went right to streaming.
It wasn't profitable.
No,
I don't think
it did not bode well.
I think the other two Aquamans weren't profitable. Well, the first one was profitable.
There's
first
three.
Was
there's profitable. Been three.
No. Isn't there three?
No. It just feels like it.
No, Matt's thinking.
You're confusing the flat.
You're thinking of Justice League.
Justice League.
Oh, that's
the Zack Snyder cut.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking of.
Yeah.
All right. Well. Okay. So, anyways.
So.
Question number three.
I think.
Would you have your kids watch this?
My answer is no. I think they would be bored. I think they would be like, they'd be like, well, this sounds like Star Wars, but you know.
I don't know. I think my kids would like this. I think it's age appropriate. Side note. So Boxy is the kid that had the dog. The dog's name is Moffat. The kid that played Boxy.
Oh, so that kid's name is Boxy?
No, yeah.
I really thought it was going to be a robotic dog.
No, well, so not to...
They named the kid Boxy?
Yeah, the kid's name is
Boxy.
No wonder
why the kid
sucks. Yeah. His
name's Boxy.
But he is the saddest character ever.
It's not positive.
Well, not only that, but he goes on to portray... Atreyu.
Really?
Yeah, that's Noah.
He played Atreyu.
It's Noah Hathaway.
So, his loss of Artax.
Yeah, so in the swamps of sadness.
So he turned out all right. His career had definite highs.
It started off high, and then went a little bit higher, and then stopped.
And that was the end of it.
I mean,
went out on a high note of sadness.
Yeah. Didn't he make it to part two?
He almost
died
in that
story.
That, by the way.
Oh, I know that scene.
Yeah, they're pulling him down. He almost drowned in that mud.
In that mud, he almost died in that mud scene with the Swamp of Sadness.
Never-ending story.
Yeah.
Swamp of Sadness almost claimed his life.
Yeah. I would say that would be traumatizing.
Or a big insurance claim.
Well, you guys know.
Tomato, tomato.
In the original story, the whole time when Artax is falling into the swamp, he's talking to Atreyu.
Yeah.
It's super dark.
It's very upsetting.
Yeah, it's even worse than the book.
Yeah, Atreyu, like, Artax is like, no, I can't go on, Atreyu. I'm going to die here.
The swamp has me, Atreyu.
The swamp has me.
It's too late.
I can't
I'm going
do anything.
On.
You're going to watch me die now.
A slow death.
Yeah.
It was like three quarters of a page. It was terrible.
Yeah.
Well, Mikey, thank you.
Well, hey,
yeah, this was quite an interesting journey.
This was fun.
I was just hoping to try to find something that you guys have not done yet.
We have not done this, and this has been on the list on and off. I have brought it up before in the past.
Yeah, like,
I'm impressed what you guys have done, and it sounds like a lot of the ones that you guys have already tackled have been entertaining to a certain degree.
Well you know, some have been fanboying out where, like, we have not a lot to talk about because it was just so awesome.
Like, we're just going, oh my god, Predator's the best movie ever! Get to the chopper!
Best thing we could say was that it was Christopher Lee stroking a frog with a feather.
Hmm. That did happen.
Yep. So, you know, highs and lows.
Oh my god, I forgot about that.
I'll never forget about that.
That was, wasn't that the Wonderland thing?
Yeah, that was Milo in the land.
That was your fault.
Look, it took me forever to find that movie, and I kind of wish I
had
never
found
it.
Iron Eagle.
Yeah, Iron Eagle, I understand that, but what made you guys watch the other one?
Which
his
one?
His fault.
Because, as their fans know, for years,
all
when
of
I was
us
a kid,
have our
Achilles heels. I saw this movie on TV. I'm like, this movie is nuts, and... I only remembered were snippets of it. I could not remember the name of the movie, and I finally this year found the title, and we watched it, and it was a shit show. I should have left it behind.
And I've also made my mistakes, such as what was that Battle Beyond the Stars? for earlier in the year.
I mean, that was campy.
It was like the 19... Dude, you and I saw it in the theaters, whiskey. 1980. It was like this Space Seven Samurai, essentially.
Yeah.
His village planet had gotten attacked by the bad guys, so he had to, like, fly in this ship to these other planets and get a warrior from each one to go and fight the big bad guy at the end.
Yeah, Space Seven Samurai.
It was Space Seven Samurai.
Oh, we weren't talking about last Starfighter.
We also had Camelot. Starfighter
that last no, it wasn't Last Starfighter, which
Ooh,
was
that awesome.
That was awesome.
That needs
so
to
like
be
these, we've had, you know, then, you know, we knew we were going to get Howard the Duck and Masters of the Universe. We knew what we were getting ourselves into, at least.
You did pick those. I knew what
knew what we were getting into, but we had to do it.
Well, that's right, fans. We do it so you don't have to.
On that note,
taking it right on the chin.
Suggestions to dadsmovienight@gmail.com. We occasionally check the email.
I do.
And any parting thoughts, Mikey? How was your time on the pod tonight?
Let me tell you, it's impressive. Almost as impressive as the size of these microphones.
Our recording setup is pretty high tech.
It is.
We can be getting a lot of money on Patreon. Thank you, fans, for supporting us.
Fan.
Is it more than one or is it less than one?
It depends on the week. The average goes a little above, a little below.
One fan gave us a couple bucks. So
that did we?
Yeah, she gave us a couple bucks. It was able to pay for my ice cream. The rest of you, well, sorry. Yeah. I got mine.
None of this is a tax write-off.
I got it.
All right, guys.
It's a liability.
For sure. Until next time.
Do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do.